Luke 10, verse 38 to 42. It happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." May the Lord bless his word.
Amen. Thanks, JL. Great to have you up here, bringing us God's word. It's definitely a new for me. Never preached without a microphone, so it's a lesson in projecting my voice, obviously. So hopefully you can hear me as we come to God's word now. Let me pray for us as we do come to this text and this new series. Father God, we again worship you. Father God, we praise your holy name. And Lord God, as we come to this text now, as we come to this series, I just ask that you do a new thing in us as we enter into a new year. And that is evident, Lord, you are doing a new thing in us. And your desire is for us to continually transform and grow into your image. And so, Father, now as we come to your word, I pray that that would be the same. That your Holy Spirit would speak to us in this moment. That you would do a work to move us closer into the image of your Son. And we thank you for this privilege and this opportunity. And I pray, Lord God, that the words that I prepared to speak today, this sermon again, would give all glory to you. And that you would equip me with the gifts necessary to preach and proclaim this good news of salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Awesome. It's all good. If you have children, there is activities up there if they want to colour in or whatever. So feel free to go grab some of those up the back. But again, Happy New Year. Happy New Year to you all. And this morning as we start a new year, we start a new series called Simplify. And the title of the series is Simplify, Four Ways to Unclutter Your Soul. And the reason for this series is this time of year provides a lot of opportunity to slow down, doesn't it? Provides a lot of opportunity to slow down, to recalibrate. And as we slow down, as we interact, as we reevaluate how our lives are going, we either evaluate them to be living healthy lives or not. Godly lives or not. And so this is the reason for this series, Simplify. Because it's not uncommon for me, as I go through the year, to hear three key words from people in particular. People within this church, but people from outside the community I deal with, I interact with on a regular basis. And the three words that I commonly hear from people is, I am overwhelmed, I am overscheduled, and overall, I'm just exhausted. Three key words: overwhelmed, overscheduled, overall exhausted. Some people they don't have to say it. You can just tell that they're overwhelmed, overscheduled, and exhausted, can't you? I'm not sure if that relates to you today. But as we dive into this text, my hope and prayer is that we understand how we can simplify our lives in order to experience more of God and experience less exhaustion, overwhelmment, and as a result of being overscheduled. But a large reason for this is that we live in such a fast-paced society, don't we? Such a fast-paced society. The moment we dip our toe into the whirlpool that is our society, we can easily get caught up in it. I don't know if that's been your experience, but that's been mine. We feel as though we need to keep up to stay afloat, but the reality is we don't. We don't need to keep up with the Joneses, as the saying says. Let me give you a few examples of how busy our society is. A few months ago, on my birthday, Kel and I had a night in the city, and we're getting off the train right in the middle of peak hours, people leaving work and entering the station to go catch a train. And as we entered into the station, as we were leaving the station actually, Kel stopped me. And she said, "Just take a look at everyone for a moment." It was the first time I've actually paused at a train station like Town Hall or Central in the city, and the people were just going crazy. Just on their way on a journey, a mission, to catch their train or to get wherever they were going. I encourage you to do it. If you go to one of the stations in the city during peak hour, just stop and pause. It's phenomenal. And I, for one, have never noticed this because for me, once upon a time when I worked in the city, I just went with the flow. That was my life as well. This is the first time I paused and stopped and just saw how crazy busy our society really is. And not long after this, we were talking to one of our neighbours who'd recently done a massive renovation on their backyard, making it all look nice. It's great for this time of year, new pool, awesome entertaining area. And we got talking to our neighbour and we asked him and her, "Are you enjoying your new backyard? This time of year is a perfect opportunity to do that." And his response was, "We're just not around enough to enjoy it. We're too busy to enjoy." And that goes to show for me how fast-paced we really are. That we can't stop and pause and enjoy the good moments of life. And it's not just them, it's the majority of our society. We are over-busy. And that results in us being overwhelmed. We're over-scheduled. Overall, we're exhausted. And I'm not sure if you realise this, but this does have a profound negative impact on our lives. It impacts and has an effect on our physical health, our relationships, our work, our relationship with God, our spiritual attitudes. If we continue to experience this overwhelmed, exhausted posture, this is the result. This is the negative results that we experience. And we often ask the question, if only life could be a lot simpler. Have you ever asked that question? If only life could be a lot simpler. Well, that's the point of this series, to speak into this experience and this reality somewhat, so that we can come to simplify our lives and we are challenged to take personal responsibility for scheduling so that we have time for those things that will fill our lives with all that God intended us to live and experience. Hopefully I can provide some wisdom in around that way. If we looked at Jesus, the most wisest person who ever lived, the most incredible person that ever lived when he walked this earth, I only recall Jesus saying to one person in particular, one person he zeroed in on, and he basically said to them, "Hang on a second, you are overwhelmed, you're overscheduled, overall you're exhausted, hang on a second, take a breath, take a moment. We need to sort this out together." And that was Martha in the text that was just read out to us by JL just a moment ago. Jesus had hundreds of followers during his ministry, but he only selected a select few to be in his inner circle. His inner circle of friends that he was replenished from. Peter, James and John, his three disciples, and then three others, Mary, Martha and Lazarus. And Mary, Martha and Lazarus, they were brothers and sisters. And Jesus told and chose them basically to become part of his inner friendship circle. And they lived in a little suburb right outside of Jerusalem called Bethany, which still exists today. It's a beautiful little town outside of Jerusalem. And they had a guest room where Jesus came. Well, they basically had a guest room that Jesus that they kept for Jesus. Sorry, let me say that again. They had a guest room that they kept for Jesus. And Jesus, if you read other texts, he really appreciated this opportunity just to get away from the crowds, to get away the busyness of life and just be. Just reflect and enjoy fellowship and friendship with his inner circle of friends. And so on this particular day, in this particular story, Jesus has made an unplanned visit to Mary, Martha and Lazarus' home. And apparently Lazarus is not there on this day, but Mary and Martha are. And as he enters into their home, Mary sits at the feet of Jesus and just interacts with him. Just wants relationship with him. Whilst Martha is frantically trying to put together a feast, a nice meal for Jesus to enjoy. So one of the sisters pulls up a chair, Mary, and she just wants to talk with Jesus. Jesus has been out on the road. He's been healing people up until this point. He's been praying with people. He's been debating with his critics, debating with the Pharisees. So he wants the time just to be replenished. He just wants to enjoy company with his friends and enjoy being replenished from enjoying conversation with them. Mary pulls up a chair and you can imagine her saying, can't you, "Jesus, we're so glad you stopped by. How's it been out there? So busy. How's it been interacting with the Pharisees, debating the Pharisees? It's okay, Jesus, we're friends. You can tell us all about it. We're so glad you're here. And so they're catching up while Martha is in the kitchen trying to get this feast together. And this is where things start to get a little bit heated. Again, Martha's frantically trying to put this food together for them to enjoy, to tend to the physical needs of Jesus with food, drink, appetizers, the whole kit and caboodle. And Mary again is just catching up with Jesus. And after a few minutes out of nowhere, Martha snaps. She's upset and she enters the room. And she doesn't focus her attention on Mary, she focuses her attention on Jesus. And this is quite ironic that she says, "Lord, don't you care?" Find those words ironic. Don't you care? This is Jesus who has left his heavenly splendor to come, to die the death that we deserved for the redemption of the world. He's just been out there healing the sick, praying with people, caring for people. And Martha says, "Lord, don't you care?" Jesus, you're cold. You're an uncompassionate person. You don't care. But I love Jesus' response, just like he does with in any confrontational moment. He doesn't react, because that reaction causes increased anxiety, doesn't it, when we react? He doesn't react, he gently responds to her. And he says, "Martha, Martha," which is the first century way of saying, "Take a breath for a moment, just calm down." And then he gently says to her, "You are worried about and upset about many things." He doesn't accuse her of anything bad in this moment. He's just making an observation. And he goes on in a roundabout say to say, "Martha, put down your spoon. Come join us. Take a couple of deep breaths. I discern that you are overwhelmed. You're overscheduled. You're exhausted. You need to take a break." He also says, "There's so many things that are occupying your mind right now. So many things that have you all churned up inside. You're making my visit more complicated than it needs to be." And I can imagine Jesus saying, "Martha, can I just simplify things for you? When I come to visit you, all I want is you. I want relationship with you. I want friendship with you. I want conversation with you. If I wanted a 5-star feast, I would make it myself. I just fed the 5,000. I turned water into wine. If I wanted all that, I could produce it, but I just want you in this moment." And then that's the very important thing that Jesus says in this situation. "That's all I really need, Martha. Whenever I come, I just want you. Unhurried, unrushed time with you." And then he zeroes in on Mary. Martha obviously wants Mary to come in and join her in this getting together of this feast. But Jesus says, Mary has chosen that good part. I'm not going to take it away from her and send her into the kitchen. And I wonder how many of us can relate to this instance. How many of us can relate to Mary, where our number one priority is just to sit at the feet of Jesus, to soak up him and to experience him, to build that connection and friendship with him. How many of us can relate to Mary? How many of us can relate to Martha in this instance? I know I can. I mean, my personality is, I'm a perfectionist. So if I was in a situation 100%, I'd be trying to get things together. You know, you probably noticed that within myself already. I'm a perfectionist, and I do some things like that at the expense of relationship and quality conversation. This is what Martha's doing in this instance. I dare say that many of us can relate to Martha because we are busy. Trying to get things done, get the kids off to their extracurricular activities, catch up with friends, cook extravagant dinners. But all of this takes away from our time and our connection with God, which should be our number one priority. All of this takes us away from the one thing that will bring us everlasting joy, everlasting pleasure, everlasting replenishment. The one person who can unplug us from our busyness, to begin to restore us from our busy, frenetic hearts, and settle our spirits within. Let me ask a further question to you all. When you find yourselves in that place of being overwhelmed, overscheduled, exhausted, basically when you're at empty. What is your antidote? What do you turn to? What do you do? For some of us, when we hit the wall, when we get this busy, when we need a break, church is the first thing to go. Our relationship with God is the first thing to go. But yet we do that at the expense of keeping all the other things that keep us busy and overwhelmed around us, don't we? Well, let me encourage you, this is the place where we should be replenished, amen? Amen. Coming here regularly, this should be the place where we are filled up, where we are replenished. And if it's not, then we need to seriously revisit how we do life here at St. Susie Baptist Church. Jesus provides the ultimate antidote for Martha and all of us. And for those of us who are overwhelmed, overscheduled, overall exhausted, the antidote is leaving that stuff to the side. Put the spoon down. Martha, come and join us. We're going to talk about God, our Father. We're going to talk about how amazing He is. We're going to talk about how deep His love for us is. We're going to have a ball out here. So put the spoon down, Martha. Put the plates down. Come out here and let's talk. The only one who is truly going to replenish us is Jesus. Amen. More time with Him, less time with everything and everyone else. And in many ways, you and I are like petrol tanks, cars, petrol tanks. You want to go to the next slide there, Alan? When we're filled up, we're going great. The busier we get, the more consumed with life we get, we lose energy. We lose focus. We lose vision. We lose the reality of why we're actually here, our plan and purpose. And then when we get to this place, we're teetering on empty. I wonder how many of us are feeling like we're on empty today. How many of us are half full, quarter full? Some of us are full, fantastic. I know Lance and Jenny are after their fantastic trip away, coming with faces beaming. But long term, if we continue like this, if we continue to go to full to empty, if this time of year is the only time that we replenish, it is not going to be healthy for our long term health, is it? It won't be. We need to build into our lives rhythms of replenishment. Not just this time of year. If we continually go from full to empty, and this is the only time when we replenish, it's going to have negative consequences on our overall holistic health, physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally. We just can't keep going through life like that. We'll reach burnout at one point. I don't know about you, but when I'm full, I have much higher capacity for things, for people. Sure, you can relate to that. I'm in a much better holistic place. The closer we get to empty, the less capacity we have. And so what we do is become resentful towards people or something, someone or something. We don't respond as we should. We have a short fuse, just like Martha does in this story. For others of us, we withdraw. We can become passive or loners. Some of us, when we're depleted, we overeat. We overdrink. We overmedicate. Some of us, we turn to escapism when we're on empty, when we've hit the wall. We go to magazines. We escape to the movies. We spend hours upon hours on our phones, just escaping the busyness and the reality of this world, on technology. Some of our men and men within our church, our community, we find comfort and source of escapism in pornography. Some of us turn to affairs. I think it's fair to say that none of us are at our best when we're depleted, are we? None of us. And so again, this is why it is so important to build this rhythm of replenishment. And the rest of the series that we're going to be looking at, rescheduling, refinancing, repurposing. So we're not at our best when we are depleted. So what can we do? How can we replenish? Well, I want to give you four quick ways that you can build in this rhythm of replenishment. Four quick ways that have been modeled to me from mentors and pastors that I found healthy in my life that I try and keep to. Four quick ways. And the first one is secrecy and solitude, which is obviously needs to be our number one priority. Secrecy and solitude. Spending time with God, away from everyone and everything else, and in the quiet. Away from the business, you might want to find somewhere in creation. I go down to the river just down the road here and do secrecy and solitude with God. This is something external and other than your regular devotional time with God. Secrecy and solitude. If you want to go to the next slide there, Alan. Here's a picture of the... I didn't put it up there. That's all right. Go back. forgot to put that picture in. Does anyone know that picture in the Sistine Chapel of that Michelangelo painted, where God is reaching out and Adam's almost touching his hand? Yeah, you can visualize that.
Yeah.
I didn't put it in there. But I want you to imagine that picture in your minds and fingers almost touching, creation meeting the created. Then I want you to imagine that that hand of Adam's reaches out just that little bit further, a few inches, until it's grasping God's hand. The reason I remind you of that picture and the reason I wanted to bring that to light this morning is because the single most replenishing aspect of my life is when I am hand in hand with God. Amen. When I'm hand in hand with God, when I'm in step in spirit with Him, when I feel His love, when I know His Spirit is at work within me, when I'm down around empty, if I'm down in there, all I need is one word from God, one passage from the Bible that restores my spirit, takes me from quarter empty to quarter full.
Hallelujah.
That's all I need. A simple word of encouragement. Dan, I love you. Dan, I'm proud of you. Just the single most replenishing thing in my life. The trick is, it's being disciplined, isn't it? It's being disciplined of being still before Him. Unhurried, unrushed, quiet moments with God. Psalm 46:10 is a familiar passage with most of us. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Jesus knew the importance of this. He would often go and withdraw from the crowd just to be still before God, His Father. In Matthew 4:13, we read Jesus heard what had happened. He withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed Him on foot from the towns. Jesus knew when His reserves were getting on empty, He would withdraw, He would pray, He would spend time with His Father and be energized, be replenished. We need to model this behavior. Secrecy and solitude, number one. Number two, exercise and eating well. So important for our overall health. And I would argue our spiritual health, because when we're healthy physically, we have more capacity, I believe, to be able to do the work of God. Eating well and exercise. I can't tell you enough the moments where I've been so stressed or my anxiety's been at my worst. When I go for a run or do a workout, it does wonders for my body, for my brain. It gives me energy, fills me up with energy. And as most of you know, lack of exercise, not eating well, it's a single reason why we have so many diseases, so many mental health disorders out there. And the reality is, we don't have to be triathletes, do we? Experts recommend 30 minutes a day, regular exercise. Brings your brain to life, gives you more capacity, more energy to get through daily activities. Why don't I combine the two? Secrecy and solitude and exercise. Kel's got this new thing where she goes for a walk down to the beach, plugs in her earphones, listens to worship music, reads a devotion. You can kill two birds with one stone, as the saying says. Secrecy and solitude, exercise and eating well as well. Number three, time with family. Spending time with our family members and close friends. I value that this church encourages me to take a day off, because Thursdays for me is all about family. All about my boys and my wife. And I make it about them. I prioritize them because it replenishes me. It fills me up when I'm down or I'm empty, getting on empty. I really appreciate that time with them. We are wired for community and relationship, aren't we? Amen?
Amen.
And so spending time with family and friends, this is a big replenisher for our souls and our spirits. But make sure it's those people and those family members that fill you up and not the ones that drain you, yeah? You want to spend time with the ones that fill you up and encourage you, and yeah, they're the ones that you want to be hanging around with. And then you've got capacity to deal with the ones that aren't so much. Secrecy and solitude, exercise, eating well, time with family, and finally, recreation time. This is so important because I don't know if you realize this, but you and I, we are wired uniquely with different passions and different interests. And for me, obviously, it's sport, so I can tick two boxes. I play basketball and I get my exercise. I love reading. Each of us need to find something that we're passionate about, that we're interested in, a hobby that we can get enjoyment out of life. And if you don't have one, I encourage you to find one. Reading, cooking, golfing, gardening, camping, stamp collecting, whatever it is. Find something that you have as a hobby or a passion that allows you to bring enjoyment out of this life, that keeps you filled up. Secrecy and solitude, eating and exercising. eating well and exercising, time with family and friends, recreational time. Four key ways that you and I can replenish our souls and our spirits, our lives, throughout the year. Not just this time of year, but throughout the year. And to be able to do this effectively, it requires us to be intentional, doesn't it? You may look at this list and think, wow, how am I going to fit that into everything else? It's about prioritising it, amen? If your life, if you value yourself and your relationship with others, then you're going to put this into place. If you value your relationship with God, you're going to put this into place. And I encourage us to do so. Be intentional. When you get home from today, spend some time sitting down. The first thing you do when you get home, brainstorm the ways that you can spend quality time with God. That you can improve the way you eat, the way you exercise. Factor in time with family and friends. Write a few things that you enjoy doing. Make sure that you're trying to bring this into your overall rhythm of life. And my prayer is as we journey over the next few weeks, as we start to build these rhythms into our life, replenish, reschedule, refinance, repurpose. My prayer is that we will start to experience life as we will, life as it was meant to be lived. Amen?
Amen.
Life as we were created to experience it. And to kick things off, to start the process of being still, to replenish our souls before God, I just want us to reflect on this incredible song called "This Is the Air I Breathe." And you would have probably heard this song before, but I was just listening to worship in my office as I do throughout the week, and this song came on. I just stopped, I paused, I closed my eyes, and it replenished my soul. It filled me up. So what I want us to do as we come to end our service, to reflect on this song. Let God go to work in your spirits. Allow Him to replenish you. And then we're going to finish with a time of communion. So let me pray for us as we finish up, and then we'll listen to this song. Heavenly Father, thank You for this time together. Thank You for Your word. Thank You, Lord, that You love us. Thank You for Your mercy, Your grace, Your compassion. Father God, as we come to reflect on this song now, as we come to replenish our souls before You, I pray that that would be our very experience. That we can just pause and be still in this moment in order for You to speak to us and to replenish us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.